Today we'll look at one who made an unwise decision. Now last week we talked about Abraham, who made a decision which was a very wise one, and we discovered that God's theme that ran through the Bible was, you can't live on planet Earth anymore. He put man out of the garden, and then Jesus came and told his followers, I go prepare a place for you. The reason is you can't stay here anymore. The last book in the Bible talks about Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, because the old earth and the old heaven are passed away. You can't live here anymore. And so man needs to make a decision to prepare for his future life. He needs to get himself a home of a permanent type. A lot of people have never made that decision. Now, Abraham was smart in doing that. He left his home. He became a pilgrim, but he secured for himself God's promise of God's everlasting home. Today, we're going to look at a woman. Now, that she is not that women are the only ones that make bad decisions, but in this case, she made a bad decision. And a lot of men and a lot of women are still making this very same mistake, the same bad decision that this woman made. I think the number one mistake that we're making is people are not securing for themselves a home beyond this earth. And God has said you can't live anymore once man sinned. Now, I believe the second greatest mistake that people made is made by Eve. And her mistake concerned who to believe. Or what to believe, whichever way you want to look at it. And I thought about this, of all the creatures that God created that have a brain, man is the only one that must decide what to believe. I don't believe any other animal must decide what he must believe. It's all instinct. Man alone is faced with the question of truth. What is the truth? Now let's go to the story of this decision in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verse 16 and verse 17, to begin, get our introduction. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now notice, the Bible refers to this as a tree of knowledge. That is, it had fruit of knowledge. But what was the knowledge? It was the knowledge of lies. Up until this point, Adam and Eve knew no lies. They really did not have to make a decision as to what truth was. All they knew was the truth. That which God had given to them, revealed to them, spoken to them, shown to them, inspired them with, all they had was the truth. Now, the tree represented just the opposite. It was a tree of Satan's knowledge. It was a tree of untruth. Now, a lot of people say, well, a lie, because man is so intelligent, a lie is easy to spot. You can tell when a person tells a lie. Be like spotting a zebra among a herd of Palomino horses. Well, that's just not the case. Instead, it's more like putting 50 white rabbits into a pen where you already have 20 white rabbits. Now let me ask you, pick out the 50 false from the 20 true. You say, well, I can't do it. They all look, you know, rabbits all look alike to me. All white rabbits look alike to me. Now, the thing about a lie is, the better the lie, the better it's able to deceive. What is the truth? Did not God ask that? And the Bible says, lies are Satan's number one tool to be used in getting man turned against God. Lies are his number one tool. Look at John 8:44. Jesus reveals something about Satan here. Besides saying to the Jewish people who were talking to him, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, your father is the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode, now notice, he abode not in the truth. He chose not to believe the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, and it is his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now Jesus warns his followers, spotting lies is not always going to be easy. Look at Matthew 7:15. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. And they are so good and so deceptive and so clever that they will come to you in sheep's clothing and you will think they're sheep. They will fool you. But inwardly, they are like ravaging wolves. On the outside, they'll fool you. He says, beware of false prophets. Now look at Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. Now Satan came to Eve and played up on her interest in knowledge. But what he had in mind was giving her the forbidden knowledge. Now the tree represented the forbidden fruit, or the forbidden knowledge of all that was wrong, all that was false, and all that was evil. It was a knowledge that would conflict with the truth of God. It was a knowledge that would make man question God. It was a knowledge that would make man say God is not telling the truth. And so Satan wanted to influence Eve and get her to accept this knowledge into her mind. He wanted her mind exposed to false knowledge. Now that's exactly what Satan still wants to do. He wants to expose people's minds to false knowledge. Practically every door we knock on, I could almost say, you people don't know the truth. You have no concept and you have no knowledge of the truth of God. You don't know anything. Now, if I said that, they would really slam the door in our face. It's bad enough just saying, hi, we're friends. But I mean, as you hear them talk, basically, they do not know what the Bible teaches about God. They do not know the truth. And the more you get them to talk, the more ignorance they reveal. So man is being exposed to false teachings that he's accepting as the truth. Now look at Genesis 3 again. Go back to our story. Genesis, the third chapter, the first six verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now notice, he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. I hear a lot of people say, the Bible says, and when they say, first thing comes to my mind, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. Go ahead and finish your sentence. And the Bible says, and I heard you say, well, go into all the world. The Bible says that. But why don't you finish your sentence? And preach the gospel. You know, a lot of people say, go into all the world and feed the hungry. Well, I can't see anything wrong with that. Go into all the world and clothe the naked. I can't see anything against that. But you haven't yet said what the Bible really says unless you say, and go preach the gospel. Now, the serpent came and said, the Lord has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, that's pretty accurate. Okay, nothing wrong with that. And the woman said unto the serpent, she would have been better off if she kept her mouth shut. Said nothing to him. She'll let him talk. Because Satan will reveal his lies and let him talk. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. And she adds something to that I don't find anywhere else. She said, neither shall you touch it. But God didn't say that. But that's a pretty good idea. I don't condemn her for that. But when you begin to misquote Scripture, you give Satan an idea you don't know Scripture. Huh? She said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now notice what the serpent said back to her. The serpent said, you shall not die. I know what God said to you, but you will not die. God is a liar, and I'm telling you the truth, you will not die. Now the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But practically everybody I run across will say to me, I don't believe that. I don't believe the wages of sin is death. I will not die. And I will not perish. And I will not be lost. And I will not eternally suffer. I will not. It's not true. Where do you get the information from? I just don't believe it. What's your authority? Myself. Now, what was the authority that Satan had to say, you shall not die? What made him so smart? Nothing. He knew you should die. He's a liar. Yeah. He's a liar. And God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. That is true. And you shall gain great knowledge. That is true. That is true. And with that knowledge you shall be as God. Hey, I'd like to be like God. Just get the same knowledge. And you will be able to know good and evil. Now she already knew good. And she really thought she was missing out on something by not knowing evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, now notice, and it was a tree that would make her wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the end result of all this is that every one of us must make the same decision that Eve made. Do I believe God, or do I believe the devil? Because what you believe is going to affect the way you live. It's also going to affect where you spend your eternal destiny. Look at Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7. Here's a great truth. For as a man thinks in his heart, so shall he be. You know that you are the byproduct of your beliefs. You're what you believe. You live and you practice out your beliefs. If you believe it's all right to lie, then you'll lie. If you believe it's all right to steal, then you'll steal. If you believe it's all right to be angry, you'll be angry. Whatever you believe, that's what you'll be. We're the byproducts of our beliefs. As a man thinks, that's what he becomes. Now, following the fall, Adam and Eve found themselves in a real dilemma. They now had knowledge of good and evil, but they couldn't figure out what was good and what was evil. You know, God blamed some of the prophets. He says, you call evil good and you call good evil. You call light dark and dark light, and you call sweet bitter and you call bitter sweet. When man and Eve, Adam and Eve sinned, they lost their ability to be able to tell what was right and what was wrong, what was truth and what was false. And today you have what's known as philosophy. Men who claim to be brilliant, giving you their viewpoints of what is right and what is wrong. The only problem is you have libraries full of books all contradicting each other. What is right and what is wrong? What is truth and what is falsehood? Look at Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 12, while you're here. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Most people, I believe, are following the way they think is right, based on what mom and dad taught them, based on what their friends tell them, based on what they would like themselves to be the truth. But in the eyes of man, his way is right. Then 16:2, all the ways of man are right in his own eyes. Most people who hear him talk, they are never wrong. They can't be wrong. Everybody hates to say, I made a mistake. And a lot of arguments in families and among children and at work on this very principle, I'm never wrong. I'm always right. My way is the best way. Your way is the wrong way. You see, man is faced with this puzzle of trying to pick out the 50 false rabbits from among the 20 true rabbits. The problem is he can't do it. He just can't do it. Because everybody has his own viewpoint. Everybody states his own opinion. And everybody thinks they know what's best. Now, the question that Eve faced is the question that you and I face. To make a decision, am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to disbelieve what God says? Now, most of the people we run into, and we talk to as we go to homes, will readily admit, oh, I believe in God. Well, that is a common statement. I believe in God. And that's important. But you know, Satan doesn't ask very many people, do you believe in God? That doesn't bother him. That's really not an issue with Satan. What bothers him is, do you believe God? For if you don't believe God, then it doesn't make any difference whether you believe in him or not. He will not have any impact over your life. He will not have any control over your life. He will not have any influence over your life. If you believe in God and don't believe him, then Satan has nothing whatsoever to worry about. He's glad for you to believe in God. Very happy for you to believe in God. Because you will represent yourself as a follower of God who does not know anything God believes. Nor do you practice. Well, you see, if you don't believe in a person, you're not going to pay any attention to them. Or believe a person, you're not going to pay attention to them. If you don't believe a person, then you're not going to take any of their counsel. If you don't believe a person, you're not going to be interested in their viewpoints. If you don't believe a person, then you're not going to be found quoting their idea and their way of life. I find that people like to quote somebody as their source of authority. In the issue of evolution, well, Darwin says. Somebody comes up and says, well, God says. Well, who cares what God says? We won't know what Darwin says. Now, that's the philosophy of the world. Man has made a decision. It's Darwin against God. You just simply put. Well, Dr. Spock says. Maybe some of you don't know who Dr. Spock is. He's the one that recommended a very liberal way to raise a child. Dr. Spock says. Well, God says. No, we want to quote Dr. Spock. Well, Lenin says. You know, that's what the communists all come up with. Lenin says. And sometimes as you go by the newsstands, you look at all the articles that you see in these National Enquirers and these Star Magazine, these Star Papers, these little old tabloid papers. They're always quoting somebody. So-and-so says, so-and-so says, so-and-so says. Well, who's so-and-so? What makes them an authority? Nobody seems interested today in what God says. And if you happen to mention, well, God says, they look at you like you're some kind of religious nut. Who wants to know what God says? If you want to know the truth, I think you're going to have to ask what God says. Now, most people have already made up their mind what they believe. Now, they can change their mind, but they've made up their mind what they believe. They've reached their decision. Without consulting God, without even asking God's viewpoint, without even questioning whether or not it's the truth, according to what God says is true, they're just not interested in what God has to say. And so what kind of truth are you talking about? Well, the truth that I'm referring to this morning is not the kind of truth that deals with how to design and build a car. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of truth. Nor the kind of truth that tells you how to fly faster than sound. Or how to build a skyscraper. But I'm talking about the truth, rather, how to build your life. How to come up with a moral conduct. How to design your life to deal with everyday situations that you come in contact with. What's good for you? What's bad for you? What's good for your wife? And what's bad for your wife? How should you treat your wife? How should you treat your husband? How should you treat your children? What should you be teaching your children? What is right and what is wrong in your home? The Bible covers all these subjects about which very few people seemingly know the truth. Our divorce records prove it. Our juvenile delinquency records prove it. The chaos in our country proves it. I mean, somewhere everything is breaking down, morally speaking, in our country. No one seems to know what's good for us anymore. What brings me the greatest benefit? We're concerned what brings me the greatest joy. And again, man has all sorts of theories on this. Now, the Ten Commandments were given to us by God to be the kind of knowledge that He says we as people need to have. I don't believe if God would have not given us Ten Commandments, man, after he fell, would have ever come up with that set of ten. Because man has been breaking them ever since. Most people feel the Ten Commandments are bad. They're bad news. They're bad advice. They're a bad way to go. And so man disapproves of moral standards based on the Ten Commandments. Now, one example is, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that ought to settle it, but it doesn't. And I read some time ago in a magazine where this expert, Mr. Quote now, psychologist said, a little adultery will help any marriage. Yeah, a lot of people see that and they say, hey, that sounds great to me. I'm going to try that theory out. What is the truth? Man must make a decision. In this area, will I believe God or will I believe man? Look at today's soap operas. I do not, but I know what's on them. And you have the same diet, the same thinking as that psychologist. A little adultery is a good idea. Today, I believe one of our financial problems in America, I don't know if anybody disagree with this, it's unemployment. All right? How come we have unemployment? There are many factors and many reasons, but I'm going to give you one idea that I've come up with that I think is our problem. One of our problems. I happen to hear mentioned over a newscast of the great difficulty in the steel mill business. And then the guy made the comment, with benefits, the steel worker is paid $35 an hour. You figure that up, compute that, and no wonder our cars and our ice boxes and everything made of steel is being imported from overseas where they're not paid $35 an hour. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about God tells how to deal with greed. And I believe in America, financially, our country is being ruined and wrecked by greed. You know, Robin's getting married. Well, wedding dresses are a subject on our mind, and so they went down to price them. One place had every wedding dress 50% off. Say $150. Marked down to $75. And they're probably still making 50%. Man's greed has 4 and 5 and sometimes 600% profit. Marked up on his price. You know, the Bible says, don't do that. Don't do that. Society has decided, we don't care what God says. And you know, in a real sense, I believe America in the coming day is reaping the havoc of greed that has been turned loose without any controls whatsoever. Where a man makes a product that costs him a nickel, he sells it for $50. It's not running. You say, well, if you're the one making the $50 right, no, it's not, because eventually it's going to all come to a screeching halt and you're going to overprice everything you have and nobody can buy anymore. I think America's in real trouble. Just the other day, I was looking at a paper, and they were saying that we ought to pass some laws where some of these big executives and some of these big companies can't make $7 million a year. Can you picture that? A president of a company making $7 million salary a year, and that's not enough? $7 million? Well, man has made a decision, and our country is reaping the havoc. The Bible gives you answers on how to control greed, how to control lust, how to control envy, how to control jealousy. What are we doing? We're following man's truth. But it's a bag of lies. It's a bag of lies. In a real sense, we've raised delinquents. And now we're reaping the consequences of delinquency. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall eventually he also reap. And I think a lot of our problems today we're reaping from what we have sowed. And we have sowed lies. Now we're reaping the consequences. In the business world, the philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry. It's often said you want to go anywhere in a company, you must not be a Christian with great moral principles. you don't have a chance. Because you won't party with them, and you won't eat, and you won't drink, and you won't be merry. And what the Bible says. Now, Paul would very often begin a sentence by saying, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, implying that a lot of folks are ignorant. They're ignorant of the truth. And I believe the key problem in our world today, around the globe, not just America, but around the world, is man refuses to believe God. I find it alarming and it frightens me. They will not believe God. And there is growing an animosity and a resentment in people's minds and attitudes that they don't want you mentioning God. I mean, you go to the front door and mention God and some lady will slam a door in your face. Folks, something has happened in your country. It is happening. They don't want to hear about God, but about His truth. They want to hear about His love and about His mercy and about His goodness and about His compassion. But they don't want to hear about His truth. I believe with all sincerity today that we have more college graduates and more intelligence in our country than ever before, and yet more ignorance of how to live, how to get along, how to have a happy life. And I'll probably be wrong in saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe the majority of churchgoers never read the Bible in search of truth. If they read it at all, it's done as a devotional exercise. It's not done to give them advice on how they ought to live. But I believe most people never expose their minds to the truth of God. Look at Matthew 22:29. Matthew 22:29. Jesus said to the people listening to Him, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. We've learned how to travel faster in our day. And all that means is we're just traveling down the broad road at a faster pace. And I find that men do not know the Scriptures. Why? Because they speak the truth of God. You know, Jesus, in John 8:40, look at John 8, and I'll close with this. People don't want the truth, and Jesus convinced me of this. Jesus said, now notice, you seek to kill me. What was his crime? I've told you the truth. Ain't that something? I've told you the truth. That was the crime. He tried to tell them the truth of God. And they tried to kill him. He said, I'll tell you what I've heard from God. Then go, if you will, down to verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you won't believe me. Implying if I told you a lie, you'd believe it. But if I tell you the truth, you won't believe it. Jesus had the same problem, and He was God now. Get this straight. He was God come to earth. He had as much trouble telling people then the truth as you and I have today. Now, Eve made a great mistake in her life. She made the decision not to believe God. Not to believe God. You know, the Bible calls a man that does that a fool. Calls him a fool. We need to install in our life a four-word phrase when it comes to making decisions, moral decisions. Thus saith the Lord. That means I believe the Lord is telling the truth. And I will follow the Lord's truth, no matter if I'm out of step with 5,000 people around me. I'll make my decision to believe the Lord. Father, we're thankful this day that we have the truth. For if you had not given it to us in the Scriptures, we would have no way of being able to divide out the truth from error. May we not be led astray by those around us who reject your truth and call it error and call it bad news. May we accept your truth as the basis of our life and how we will control our life and govern our life and parent our life. May it always be with us. Thus saith the Lord. May that be our decision, not God is a liar. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.